Hey, it's time for VoiceOver Body Shop, and it's Tech Talk number 86.
Yeah, baby.
Don't 86 it, man.
Yeah.
It's 86 times we have done Tech Talk. You know, plus if you throw in the almost 200 episodes before that, before we started doing this. Anyway.
We've probably talked about microphones a few times, right?
A few times. What's the best microphone for voiceover?
Our favorite.
Yes. So if you've got a question about your home voiceover studio, throw it in the chat room right at this time, right now, and George and I will discuss it in the next segment. So are you ready, George?
I certainly am.
Okay, good. It's time for VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk right now. VoiceOver Body Shop is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, the home of Harlan Hogan's signature products. Source Elements, the folks who bring you Source Connect, JMC Demos, when quality matters. VOHeroes.com, become a hero to your clients with award-winning voiceover training. VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your voice actor website shouldn't be a pain in the butt. VoiceOver Extra, your daily resource for voiceover success. And by World Voices, the industry association of freelance voice talent. And now, here's your hosts, Dan and George. Well, hello there. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or VOBS.
Tech Talk.
Tech Talk.
An early Tech Talk.
Yeah. So you guys get to see us. You know, some people join us for Tech Talk. Some people join us when we do our guest interview. But the people who've come for the guest interview get to hear Tech Talk now. And they're going to go, this is fabulous. Why don't they do this like every other week?
Well, we used to do Tech Talk. We used to do the tech stuff before the guests, but we decided rather than make a guest wait around for us to finish, we would just have them first. And that's the way it's been quite a few years now. But today, because our guest is deposed, is that the word?
Deposed? Indisposed? No. That would mean he's
incomposed.
He's like in a legal six. Yeah, and he's not decomposed either.
Whatever the reason,
deposed means he has been removed from office.
Okay, thank you.
Whether by force or by.
I like big random words.
And use them properly.
Isn't there terminology for the misuse of words?
Malaprop.
Boom. And you didn't misuse it, so
that's
you
right.
Weren't ironic about it.
I think that's a malaprop.
A malaprop? Yeah, I think that's the word I remember, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Highly technical talk here. But anyway, if you're wondering why we're talking about tech, it's what George and I do. One of the things that, you know, we try to fill our days with all sorts of fun stuff, whether it's flying down a mountainside on a bike or playing with old radios. But most of the time, we're dealing with you and your home voiceover studios. And we've been doing it for a long time. There's a lot of people out there, apparently a lot of coaches out there that'll tell people, oh, yeah, use one of these, but not how to use one of these.
Mm-hmm.
And George and I usually end up mopping up afterwards, because we know how to do this kind of stuff. And it's usually like, oh, God, what did this person tell you? Well, if you want to get the right information and not be intimidated and get that boulder of technology craziness off your shoulders, you can work with one of us, because we're going to give you the right answers. We're going to show you how to do it right. And that's the most important thing when it comes to a home voiceover studio. If you don't have a home voiceover studio, you're not really participating in the freelance voiceover market. And if you're going to have a home voiceover studio, it's got to be good. And if it sounds good.
It is good.
Right on cue. Got to love that. Anyway, if you want to work with Mr. Whittam, George the Tech, where do they go?
You can head right over to georgethe.tech. And if that makes your brain hurt, you can also just put in georgethetech.com. That will work too. And all my services are available for booking over there, starting with the most popular and most affordable sound check service, which is similar to one that Dan offers. And it's just a matter of you sending in your audio. And I also like to get some photos and a description of what's really going on. And that way I can give you a really clear answer about what I hear in your audio. Very objective, just how does it sound? How's the noise floor? How's the acoustics in the space? How is your mic technique? All that stuff we'll cover in a sound check. And you can go from there all the way to studio design. Whatever you need is available. And over at Dan's place, as I was mentioning, at
homevoiceoverstudio.com.
What can you do over there, Dan?
Well, now you can find the Specimen Collection Cup much easier because when you go to the page, it's right there.
Right where it should be, in an obvious place.
Where it should have been all along, but now it's up top. Yeah, and for $25, I will do a very thorough analysis of your audio. And, you know, it's not just what I hear, it's also what I see. There might be some things that you might think are inaudible, but I see them. You know, if you look at a spectrograph and you see a repeating line at 125 hertz, it's like air conditioner, ceiling fan, refrigerator.
Fish tank.
Yeah.
Aren't that many of those anymore, are there?
No.
Very few.
Yeah. The people keep those somewhere else. But yeah, if there are sounds that you don't realize are there and I can see them, I can hear them. Although you get down underneath 80 hertz, you don't hear them, but the engineer on the other end is going to see the needle moving up that direction. And
or their speaker cones going like this. Blah, 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 blah.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep. So anyway, you've been gone for a little bit, and you were in jolly old England.
I was. It's my first ever trip to London. I went there with my girlfriend where we met her mother who flew in and her sister who also flew in. And it was really an eye-opening experience. I went there with some expectations. I mean, who doesn't have expectations about what London might be like if you've never been, right?
Right.
I kind of went there with just open eyes and ears and mouth and nose and just smelled and taste and just enjoyed the city in a lot of ways. But I did gather a little bit of content that I thought is, well, at least somehow audio related. So I thought I could share a couple of things with you guys. So first of all, let's find the one I want to show you. So this is a clip showing and letting you hear as well what the subway train, well, this isn't a subway. This is called the DLR. So this is what we would call an elevated train. This is the sound and a view from the train of looking at my actual hotel, my Hilton hotel. So this is, check this out. Right there's the hotel.
That's loud.
That's
on
our
the
hotel
outside.
Right there. That's how close the hotel is to the tracks. Right, so when we checked in and I saw the elevated train right outside our hotel, I was like, oh no. Because I had this bad flashback of going and checking into the Jack London Inn or whatever it was in Oakland long time ago, like 30 years ago with my dad, my mom, and the train tracks right outside the hotel. And we saw the train tracks and we're thinking, oh, cool, the trolley is going to go right on by, not realizing that, no, it's not a trolley, it's freight trains. And they were really friggin' loud. Well, in this hotel, you couldn't even hear the train at all. Here's why. Look at the windows in the hotel.
I was saying earlier how this hotel is super quiet. Look at the windows here. Look at this. They have a double pane, heavy, heavy glass double pane exterior window, and then an interior glass window.
And even that interior piece, it rattled a little bit, so they could have done a little better on the weather stripping. But that was even like a laminated piece of glass. It was really impressive, the effort that was put into the hotel to keep the noise levels down.
Yeah, there's nothing like the sound of a train rambling by when you're trying to sleep. So
they didn't mess around. It was you literally would forget that there was a train outside that close. That's how incredibly quiet it was. I was really impressed. So if you're staying, if you're going to London, here, this shot actually shows how close the train actually
room
is.
Room is right above it.
There
and
it is.
It's totally inaudible. You would never ever.
So this is a neighborhood of London called Canary Wharf. And it's an eastern part of London. And it's an old wharf area that was all for loading fish and stuff. And now it's all giant high-rise buildings. It's like being in the middle of Wall Street. It's all banks, right? But you're really close to all these different train lines and you can get around really easy. And that was cool. Other audio-related stuff that I enjoyed and witnessed in London.
These are the things you were concentrating on. What is the audio situation in London?
Of course. I'm obsessed with it, right? This was in the Tate, which is an amazing modern art museum in London, founded by Her Majesty the Queen in 2000. And this was in one corner of one of the exhibits. He walked into this hall, and this is what you heard.
Is that like all the radios playing at once, or?
That's all, every single radio, I mean, theoretically anyway, every single radio tuned to some kind of random point. I don't know if it was random or what it was, but it was just idling static of whatever these radios were pulling in. And occasionally you would hear an actual song, a strong, clear song would just come through at random, which was really, really kind of a trip, actually. I found it like hypnotic and also super nostalgic. I mean, how could you not find that nostalgic as you're walking around? You're looking at all these radios that you remember, either radios you already have, like Dan, you've got a collection. I'm sure some of the radios you have are in this pile.
I recognize a few of them.
Yeah,
although British radios are, there are British manufacturers. And their stuff was just a little bit different.
Yeah, yeah. And then I have another clip I won't show, but it's me walking around the entire tower showing everything there. But that was just really cool and fascinating. I thought that was very, very interesting. And then on another audio tip from the same museum, this was an art piece that was made by this artist Oswaldo Macchia or Macchia. And it was essentially 1,000 different bird songs that he had recorded. And then as you walk through the exhibit, you're hearing them playing through speakers suspended from the ceiling. And he's basically playing back the sound of the birds as though it was a musical arrangement. And on different walls in the exhibit, like this one, he is showing the key, essentially the plan of how everything is, what instrument is what bird, right? And then this is the actual master plan of how all the bird sounds are mapped over what theoretically would be an organ. So imagine a huge church or theater organ, but all of the instruments are birds. And they're all playing through these speakers suspended from the ceiling. I don't even know if you can hear them right now.
No, the sound is not on, but...
Oh, shoot.
There it is.
Yeah, it's not reading right now. You pretty much had to walk under the speaker to hear it clearly. But there are bird sounds coming out of these speakers. It's just really fascinating use of technology, music, bird sounds, all these things combined. It was incredibly fascinating.
Yeah.
The last audio and video experience that I'll share, if I can find the tab here. This was, I think I clicked away from it and then lost it. I got to go down and see the carnival parade that's in Notting Hill, the village of Notting Hill. And the experience of the sound systems that were on the trucks was pretty over the top. I mean, I could not believe the sheer scale of these sound systems that they were carrying around on the backs of semi-trucks pulled through neighborhoods. Like, imagine the loudest car stereo you've ever heard that, like, you're like, okay, that's enough. This is a little obnoxious. Imagine that, but that times 100. And that's what these sound systems were like. Here's a clip of one as it goes by. Here's the back of it, the business end, I would call it. Come on. There it is. Look at that.
That's one heck of a subwoofer.
It was insane. And there was those trucks over and over, just going down the street with a huge crowd of people dancing behind them. So it was a very sonically varied and interesting trip to London. It was really, really fascinating. But I didn't do any work. I didn't bring any microphones. I really was pretty much offline the whole time, and it was a joy. It was a joy to be able to do that. I felt really lucky, to be honest, to run a business and be able to just decide that you're not going to work for a while and do that was a real, real treat. And so
I've only been doing that since 2003.
Good for you. I mean, that is, it's hard to do it, but I really enjoyed it. And if you're going to London and you know you're staying there, I can recommend the Hilton Canary Wharf for being a really, really quiet hotel. And you could also shut off the air conditioning. There was a fan control on the wall, and you could just shut it off and make it really quiet in there.
So that was your trip to London.
That was my trip to London. So because I was offline and taking a vacation, I didn't really gather a lot of new tech tips and tech news. And I haven't really seen that much going on. What have you seen, Dan?
Talk to me. Our friends at Centrance.
Oh, yes, yes.
They have this new thing called the Jasmine. It's not in production yet, but it looked like an improvement over the Micport Pro.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a mic preamp, and it has a big VU meter on it and a limiter. And all these things, and apparently they're working on it, and they did all the testing, and now they're ready to start production runs on it, and then it'll be a nice, another great little portable unit that Centrance puts out.
Oh,
so
cool.
We'll see.
I'm checking it out now. Yeah, it's called the Jasmine. It's a boutique mic preamp with limiter and headphone amp. So, yeah, so this is interesting, because what they're doing here is going, well, some people just want a preamp. They don't actually want the AD converter. So this is what's so fascinating about high-end audio gear, right? Sometimes the more expensive stuff does less, right? Isn't that interesting?
So because the little things better.
Right. So this is a $700 unit that does nothing but provide a preamp with a high-pass filter and a limiter, which is really obviously handy. Right. But that's what it does. That's it. It's not an interface. It's not a headphone amp, although it does have a headphone. Oh, no, I take that back. It does have a headphone amp. Yeah. So it's a very niche thing. So I'm wondering who would really benefit from this. I guess if you,
Probably musicians, but it would work for voiceover if, you know.
Oh, it would definitely work for voiceover.
Yeah.
Like it would just be an interesting thing. If you're wanting like a completely super clean, I would imagine it's got no distortion, super, super clean.
Oh, yeah. No,
low noise.
Their standards are really, really high.
Yeah, yeah. It's got to be. But it's interesting that he built it in the same chassis as like the mixer face.
Right.
So he's making a line of new products based around that chassis. So that's cool.
Yeah. And I like that it has the big VU meter on it. Always in the green, always in the yellow. With a flash of red every now and again.
Yeah. No, that's cool. No, I like that he's iterating and creating new products, and we'll have to see if anybody in the voiceover world finds it to be, you know, helpful to use something like that and a supplement to their other preamps and processors and stuff.
Right. So maybe he'll send us one.
There you go.
There we go.
Well, we've gotten stuff from Mike Goodman and Centrance in the past. You know, We've tested the mixer face and we found it fantastic. The Micport Pro 2 and 3 now are both
It's got
really
that
great
limiter on it, and you know the people in animation and gaming are really liking that one, so that's really cool.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I wanted to throw something out here for the next few minutes, and if people have questions on this, they can, of course, you know, they can join in on this. I get a lot of questions about resolution settings. Mm-hmm. You know, we've always, you know, up until now, I'm usually with an MP3, we always say, do it at 44.1K at 24-bit. And I'm getting stuff all over the place. Some people do it at, you know, at you know, 44.1. It's been the standard for a while, but now a lot of video goes to 48.
You're talking about WAV files or MP3 files?
Either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are they're being we're being asked for 48K. Mm-hmm. You know, especially by video producers, because that's the standard for video. Right. For just straight audio, I mean, you can get away with, you know, 16-bit and 44.1.
Yeah.
But for the most part, the funny thing is there's no difference in sound. Now, if someone says they can tell the difference, they're lying. Because
between 44.1 and 48K,
and 48
kilohertz sample rate, yeah,
you're not going to notice a difference because it's, you know, there's a certain frequency range that it covers, and it doesn't matter because it's recording sounds that you can't even hear.
Right. He's basically, you can tell the frequency range of what the sample rate captures by just taking whatever that number is, 48K, and divide it in half. So now 24. Is the maximum frequency you can record.
Right.
24 kilohertz. Now, I don't know last time you had your hearing checked, but
fairly recently.
I actually did my hearing test on an app.
Oh, really?
There's an app called Mimi, M-I-M-I.
Right.
That lets you do your own hearing test, similar to the way you would do it an audiologist for hearing aids and stuff.
Right.
But anyway, most of us won't hear anything above 14, 15 kilohertz. Anymore. Right. You know, that's if you're right. Under 20 or under 30, you might be able to hear above that, but none of us can really hear that stuff, you know? Yeah. So going even higher to 48K or 41, 48 does not make any difference.
Yeah. I had a hearing test fairly recently, you know, I have tinnitus and it was getting bad for a while. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the audiologist like, your hearing's perfect. It's pretty good for your age. I'm like, don't tell my wife.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, when I did that home test, I hadn't done a proper hearing test in quite a while. I used to get my hearing tested at the NAMM music trade show. The House Ear Institute would bring in a big truck, you know, and you'd go inside and they had the audiology booths and the whole thing, and they'd print out your report. And it'd been a long time since I did it. So finding this Mimi app, it was kind of cool. It was a pretty legit. I mean, it played the very quiet tones that got descendingly more and more quiet as they played. And then it would tell you to let go of the button when you couldn't hear them anymore. Mm. And it said I was about 10 to 15 decibels below optimal. But they said that, but it said that was normal for my age. So I was glad to see that.
Yeah. I had one where it was like, progressively people talking louder in the background and you had to pick out the right sentence. And I got them all.
That's pretty good. Yeah. That's something where hearing aids help a lot.
It does.
So, I mean, I know another reason why recording at sample rate 48K can be helpful is if nowadays we're asked to be doing multiple things at once, right?
Right.
Not just record, but now we want to record and be on Zoom or record and have something else going on. And as I like to say, as I've been saying recently, describing sample rate and what's called word clock is you want everybody to be dancing to the same music, the same beat. If you've got, you know, your DAW is recording a WAV file at 44.1 and you're running Zoom and Zoom wants to be running at 48 kilohertz, you're going to have problems, clicks and pops. Now, the macOS seems to somehow on the fly sample rate convert, because rarely have I had clicks and pops and glitches, and I've never really given it that much thought. So it is definitely best practice to make sure everything's the same sample rate. But if you're on Mac, you might be okay, and might, because it's sample rate converting, I think. But I know in the Windows environment, boy, things just do not get along well at all if they're not the same.
We told sample rate.
You got to really,
stick with Mac if you're doing audio. But, you know, you got what you got. So anyway.
Yeah, I mean, if you're on Windows, everything's got to be on the same sample rate. I would say 48K across the board is the way to go. And it doesn't matter what they ask for. Just record at that sample rate, and you can convert it later.
Right.
Just sample rate convert before you send the file. And not a big deal. In fact, 24-bit, I recommend to record at as well. And then if you need to send it in 16-bit, again, you can save it as 16-bit.
Yeah. Well, you know, people have been asking a lot of questions. So we're going to take a break, and we're going to get into answering all these questions, because that's what we really love to do. Not that your trip to London wasn't fascinating, and not that 44:1 versus 48K isn't, you know, maybe it's a little geeky for some.
Even more fascinating.
This stuff, you guys are going to dig. So we're going to take a break. We'll be right back here on VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk right after these messages.
This is the Latin lover narrator from Jane the Virgin, Anthony Mendez, and you're enjoying Dan and George on the VoiceOver Body Shop.
You know, I used to live in Buffalo, New York. But now, I'm in sunny Southern California.
But no matter where you are, when you need equipment strictly for voiceover, there's only one place to go. And that's voiceoveressentials.com. And right now's the time to get with Harlan Hogan's Signature Series VO1A voiceover microphone. They also have the fabulous Sentrance Micport Pro 2 with limiter in stock. In fact, it's the only version they sell. Now, a limiter is a must-have, especially when recording oneself with no engineer to ride gain for you. By the way, it's the most amazing limiter they've encountered. It's impossible to detect, and it's incredibly quiet. And they've upgraded the Portabooth Pro Quick Script LED light. Now it has two goosenecks, all the better to read your script. Go on over to VoiceOver Essentials right now to get these great VoiceOver Essential products.
Man, that's a great spot, Dan. Killing it. Well, I'm going to do my live spot because I don't like producing anything, and I'm going to talk about our great friends over at Source Elements. Well, boy, I'll tell you, by now you have heard a lot about Source Elements Company, and if you haven't, well, you're new to the show, and then welcome. But Source Elements creates software that allows studios to interact and connect and record audio real-time in very high quality. And that's their primary software made by Source Elements that the voice acting industries have all used for a long time. A lot of the industries anyway, that tends to be the bigger production quality, higher budget, commercial, things like that. They use Source Connect, and that's because it's a dedicated application that does one job, and that is capture the audio, stream it to the other side, and bring the audio into their system. And it does it extremely reliably, much more reliably so than anything that could run on a Google Chrome browser. Because the problem with browser-based audio apps is the browser changes and updates all the time. If you probably have no idea what version of browser you're running, because it updates constantly, probably almost every week. And so that's a moving target, and that creates really hard to describe and very difficult to troubleshoot glitches. And that's not happening with Source Connect. It's a dedicated app designed to do that one job, and it's supported extremely well by the support team at Source Elements. So if you want to give it a try and you want to understand why it is the tool of choice in pro audio recording remotely, you can do that. Go over to source-elements.com. and get yourself a 15-day free trial and start experimenting and poking around and testing it. And if you need help, don't worry. They've got great support, as well as myself at George the Tech and our team here. We can give you extra white glove support if you need it. Anyway, let's get back to the show right after this.
Well, hello there. I bet you weren't expecting to hear some big-voiced announcer guy on your new orientation training for Snapchat, were you?
This is Virgin Radio.
Well, okay, we're not that innocent.
There's jeans for wearing and there's jeans for working. Dickies, because I ain't here to look pretty.
She's a champion of progressive values, a leader for California, and a voice for America.
It's smart. It's a phone. It's a smartphone. But it's so much more. It's a, the files are ready, don't forget to pick up the eggs. What time is hockey practice? Check out this song.
It's the end of the road for Rick.
It's just you and me, Rick.
When hope is lost.
The i8 from BMW. Who said saving the planet couldn't be stylish?
Hey, it's J. Michael Collins. Bet you think I'm going to try and sell you a demo now, huh? I think they speak for themselves. But I will give you my email. It's jmichael@jmcvoiceover.com. Now, if Dan will stop waxing his mustache for a minute, we'll get back to the show.
This is Bill Ratner, and you're enjoying VoiceOver Body Shop with Dan Leonard and George Whittam, VOBS.TV.
All righty, and we're back. And it's time for Tech Talk and Your Questions Lightning Round. Because we got a pile of them here.
Nice.
All right.
People have been storing them up over the holiday.
I know. Just on Labor Day. And I'm glad everybody's here on Labor Day. You could be out barbecuing. Of course, you don't have to do anything here in Southern California. You just go out in your backyard and hold a couple of hot dogs, and they're going to cook. It's only 106 in my backyard right now.
Oh, man.
Anyway, we have an actual write-in one. Somebody actually emailed us a question, which you can do by writing to us at theguys@vobs.tv. And if you write your question in before we do the show, you get to be first in the queue. So Steve Griffin asks, he says, I'm trying to lower my noise floor in my home studio. Aren't we all? I'm currently running a noise floor between minus 57 dB and minus 55 dB. I'd like to lower it to at least minus 60 dB. Do you have any suggestions? Well, it would help to hear what the noises are. My philosophy is everything is physical. Find the source of the noise and turn it off. The thing is we were talking about this a little earlier. You don't necessarily hear all the noises in your house. Your brain has tuned them all out. Your refrigerator, your air conditioning. You know, it's not like you're consciously listening for this stuff. And when you go in, if you go into a booth or you're in a certain room, you really don't hear it. But our friend here does. Hears everything, and it puts it on your hard drive. So it's important to really stop and think and go, is something making noise? Close your eyes for a second and listen. And your brain will go, oh, yeah, yeah, this one. Yeah, okay. We're going to turn on this frequency, and then you hear your refrigerator and you hear the air conditioning. Those things really have to be off unless you're in a really soundtight room.
Yeah, the air conditioning is a big one. Just noise and traffic noise from even a road that could be a mile away. If there's enough of it, it'll show up as rumble, the little wavy line. In your waveform, and a lot of that can be reduced by just using a high pass filter, and all of a sudden you can lower the noise floor, the effective noise floor of your recordings, several dB, sometimes 20 dB,
yeah,
depending on how much noise it is at that low frequency. So you might be able to go from minus 57 dB to minus 70,
yeah,
by just
exactly
applying a high pass filter. So without having the audio to analyze, That's the best we can do for you, but you can always get a sound check or use Dan's specimen collection cup, and we'll really analyze it closely.
Yeah, and a high-pass filter is actually a lot simpler than it
really
sounds.
Helps.
Okay. You get the one from Marlene Goodman.
Yeah, this was also from email.
Yeah.
How does one learn the setup and operation of the home technology? I'm going to assume Marlene in this case means home studio technology.
Yes, that would be us.
Where do we start?
Come to the right place.
You've come to the right place watching every episode of Tech Talk. You know, you're going to learn a heck of a lot watching all of our Tech Talk episodes, Marlene. So I can recommend that because that's free.
Yeah.
That's a really good place to start. We've covered a tremendous amount of ground. There's webinars. Dan has taught a lot of webinars. I am still teaching webinars as well. You can look for webinar content about what you want to learn. There is obviously a lot of YouTube videos, which some are good, some are not. So take those with a grain of salt. They're not always appropriate for your needs or always accurate. So check your source. Make sure if you're watching YouTube videos, make sure you know who it is you're learning from.
Right. Important that if you were listening from the top of the show, you can work with Mr. Whittem here, or you can work with me and go to our websites, and we will teach you from soup to nuts.
Yeah, I mean, we'll teach you what you need to know. Like, the key thing is we'll teach you what it is that you need to know, because that's the thing. If you start studying the books, there's a few right there on the shelf. If you start reading all the books, you can start drowning in knowledge and information and learn a lot of stuff you don't need. So working with Dan or I one-on-one will give you a concentrated piece of, you know, helpful information at the pace that you need to learn. You might learn at a different pace than you can handle on a YouTube video. You might want to just write things down longhand. That's fine. You know, we'll work with you directly. But the key is to learn what you need and not learn everything, because it's right. a big distraction from being a voice actor to learn all of audio engineering.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, it's, we've been able to break it down into some very simple things. And we will, you know, if you talk to us, you know, you set up a consultation with us, we will set you straight and relieve all of your tension about it.
Yep.
Jeff Holman's got an interesting question.
Our very says, own.
Yes. Have any tips for using the Rode VideoMic Go 2 with an iPhone for recording videos? I'll be using it to record on-camera self-taped auditions. You mean this guy?
Yeah, Dan has it, and we used it to do the tour of Mojave Microphone.
And it worked great.
It worked great.
It's you know, it's like a little 416, and you just mount it.
Teeny weeny shotgun. Yeah,
with the iPhone,
you have to have that cord, right, Dan?
You have to have this very special cord
that does not come with the mic.
Right, which I ordered too, just in case I break this one. But it plugs right into your phone. The phone immediately recognizes it as your mic, and then you just use it. You know, if the phone is mounted on a tripod or on a selfie stick or something, this particular device allows you to also put that on there with it, and then you have your phone. I can see my phone right here, and then you can take your phone.
It's a strong spring on there.
And there's a really strong spring on there. Anyway, so you get this on a selfie stick, and then all of a sudden you've got real professional audio with this, and it works great.
So. Yeah, for doing self-tapes, you want to get it probably within 3 or 4 feet. Don't put it too far away from you. You know, obviously, mic technique, the closer the mic is, the more better it's going to pick you up, the more directly it will pick you up. You still want to make sure that you don't have a super reverberant room, you know? Right. So if it's an empty room in your house or Spartan room, it's going to sound pretty reverberant. Yeah. So you might want to throw some blankets on the floor. You might want to make sure you have a rug, you know, do whatever you can.
Exactly.
To get rid of that echo. But it, $100 plus like a $30 cable. Is that what it is? $30
for the cable. I wonder how it would do for doing voiceover somewhere.
Well, you did some early tests, and the noise floor of the mic was pretty good, right?
It was excellent. Like
it wasn't noisy.
Yeah.
It had a pretty pleasing sound. It's a pretty mind-blowingly good mic for $100. I mean, it's with that cable, it's a $130 shotgun USB mic.
Exactly.
Pretty amazing.
Not a lot of those around.
No.
Okay. Jeffrey Hedquist's. From YouTube, he says, I have a null spot on my preamp section of my Apollo Twin. Remedies?
Ooh.
Buy something else.
A null spot.
Oh, meaning if, as he's turning the dial, as he's using the preamp in it, something goes and then it jumps off. So he's got a dead spot.
Oh, that's the Neve preamp. The gain knob, as you turn it to about 55 dB, there's an off position.
Oh.
If that's the one he's talking about, I mean, he didn't say what plugin he's using or whatever, but I'm assuming if that's what he means, there is literally a position on that knob. It goes, you know, 40, 45, 50, 55, off, 50, 60, 65, 70. Rupert's dead. We can't ask him why he did it that way. But there's literally an off position on the gain dial, right? And because the plugins, if you're using a Neve plugin, are modeled over the actual hardware, it replicates that same quirky design. So maybe that's what it is. I don't know. Put it in your chat if I'm completely off base here, or if you are using the Neve plugin or something, Terry. Because that's an odd one. I don't know why that would happen otherwise.
Yeah, a lot of people are, you know, been asking about the Apollo Twin. You know, because I need a limiter. Well, like, you know, you're buying an awful lot just to get a limiter. You don't.
Yeah, that's really, a big expense and a big learning curve just to have that. The Micport Pro with the limiter is for $300 is a way better value. And
there you go.
Way simpler to use. Yeah.
All righty. You get the next one from Red Cabin Acoustic.
All right. This one's from YouTube. what are the best, in quotes, VO conferences to go to for newbies and those that have some work under their belt? I don't know if I can rank them right now. They each have their strengths and weaknesses. I don't know. What would be the top one that comes to mind, Dan, that's a no-brainer? If there
How
is
about one. That one?
Oh, well, of course. No, that's absolutely true. We haven't had a WoVo in a while.
And we've not had a WoVoCon, and we're
WoVoCon
doing that.
WoVoCon is a conference put on by voiceover professionals for voiceover professionals.
Yeah, right. And we're a not-for-profit. By the way, I'm president of World Voices, but we're doing this May 4th through 6th in Orlando, and it's a very different type of conference. Great for people who want to really learn from everybody else and not like just attend all sorts of, going to, different talks and stuff like that. You get to really participate in it. And that's one of the reasons that we really like doing it. So,
this one would not be targeted to the newbie, who's someone that's just getting started. A lot of the other conferences are really good at catering to the new voice actor, like VO Atlanta and what's the one in the fall? That's VoiceOver.
They have a one ton conference. Of like,
I want to get into VoiceOver topics, that are covered by coaches and things
like
that.
Well, you and I are going to VO North next weekend.
Yeah, we are. VO North, which is sort of it's the conference of Canada, right?
For the time being. I don't know if they're going to do it anymore. But
yeah, this could be the last one is my understanding. Yeah. But
so we're going and we're going to have a great time. Because we get to see all of our friends that we haven't seen for years and years.
That's a big reason why these conferences are so popular. It's, a lot of folks go to not necessarily learn a lot. They maybe will get a few golden nuggets.
Right.
But they go for the social aspect, and that's a good reason. That is a good reason to go if it's in your town, you don't have to spend a tremendous amount of money to get there and things like that. So
we're going to do a few mini cons with World Voices over the next couple of years, and those will be regional conferences, so you can drive there, which will be really great.
That's good.
So we'll be talking more about those as well. Oh, and also I'm going to be going to MAVO in Washington in November.
Oh, I always forget about that one. Yeah, that's the Mid-Atlantic Voiceover conference.
Yeah, that's going to be out near Dulles Airport, and I'm going to be speaking at that. So if you want to learn about home studio stuff or anything that has to do with voiceover.
Is that one targeted towards a wide range of skill?
Yeah, that's a wide-ranging one, too. So,
But sort of a regional one. Exactly. I mean, people come from everywhere.
Everywhere.
Don't they?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's a good one to go to.
Cool.
Okay, you get, let's see here. Grist. Yes, I have a question. Well, that's good. It's about a scratching noise that levels out at 143 to 153 dB in my, I think she means K. If it's 143 dB. In my pause spaces in Adobe Audition. It looks red in the WAV file and gets more profound at the outtakes of my cut and paste points. Weird science freaking me out. Thanks. This sounds like an editing thing. This is a matter of when you're editing audio, you can't cut right in the middle of a sound. It's got to be at the crossover point. And that's the center line, where you've got the waveform like this. I suppose I could show that. Why don't you talk for a second while I set that up, and I'll show people what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, she might be talking about what Dan's describing, which is a discontinuity, which is where there's two, when you see your waveform and you zoom way in, when you make an edit point, sometimes the two halves of that where the edit point occurs don't actually meet in the middle like this. They actually meet at two different spots. Right. And when that happens, that's called a discontinuity, and that makes a click. But I'm not sure if that's quite what she's describing. I'm a little bit perplexed. She said, because she's mentioning a specific, I think she means frequency. She says, no, it's in the non-speaking area. So she's talking about during the room tone, there is something that's in there that happens to be in 146 kilohertz.
Oh, well, so that sounds
there's some tone or some noise in her space that's in that frequency range. Yeah.
It's probably in a fan. If you can all see this, we're talking about, this red line in the middle here.
Yeah.
That's the crossover point. If you edit from that point over, you will not get a click, especially if you go back over to the next crossover point.
The next crossover point, right.
Right there. And if you do that, you'll notice that it's a nice smooth transition, even though we're dealing down to the sample level here.
And I think Adobe Audition is auto-fixing that now, isn't it?
It does.
Isn't it auto?
That's the whole thing about Adobe Audition, is that whenever you do those types of things, it creates that crossover point anyway. So that's...
Oh, she's saying the wave goes from negative 43, dB. She didn't put the... And when you're putting in notes, make sure you tell us the units. So if you're talking about 43 dB versus 43 kilohertz or frequency. Whatever. But from negative 43 to negative 53. So that's the range in which that sound is hovering. Okay, she means dB. Yeah, so there's some tone that's hovering in that decibel range.
And it's probably some of that background noise we were just talking about.
Yeah, it must be some kind of room tone or some equipment that's in an adjacent room or a unit or something that's creeping into your space.
And that's why you send us a sample so we can hear this. It takes 2 seconds for us to go, oh, and yeah, I know what that is. It's a refrigerator. It's your air conditioning.
Yeah. We're rarely totally stumped. I mean, it can happen. If there's something like wrong with the equipment, that's where the noise is originating from inside the mic or something like that, that's a whole different thing. But that's pretty rare that happens.
Yeah. Question from Grace Newton. This is a good question. It says, I'm about to hang my cloud using teacup hooks and blankets. Should there be a space between the ceiling and the blankets? How much? Well, it's a matter of it's a sort of a trial and error thing. Wouldn't you say? It's like, okay, you start at 6 inches and then, it takes a couple of people and you lower it and you find out where the sweet spot is for that, for hanging that.
So it's blankets. So that means the thing's going to hang down. I'm assuming it's going to hang down kind of like a curve.
Right.
Because it's suspended from the edges, or is it, I don't know how she's exactly hanging it with teacup hooks, but if it's just hung from the perimeter, it's going to kind of pillow.
Right.
Right. It's going to billow out in the middle. So it's automatically going to have a gap from the ceiling. It's going to have a gap of several inches.
Let's take a look.
Clouds that are in your space. Yeah. These are made out of rigid acoustic treatment.
Yeah.
With a wooden frame.
Right. And you can see how I hang them there.
They're all about 6 inches to a foot off the ceiling.
It's an arched ceiling, so
that's right. It's not a flat ceiling. So it's a little more complicated here. Yeah. But my understanding is that there's a law of diminishing returns. If you leave too much of a gap, that isn't beneficial. So I've heard somewhere between 4 and 6 inches off the ceiling is beneficial. That's what I've read somewhere. I can't remember where or who, and I think it depends on how thick the paneling is and et cetera. So if it's just a blanket, I don't know how much of a difference it's going to really make, whether you have a gap there or not, because it's not very thick. So.
Alrighty. All right. Why am I jiggling
max,
like that?
You're max headrooming. Maybe we can clean it up in a break, but
yeah, we'll get to that in a second. Or I just switch back to the other cam I was using, and then
might help.
Camera.
Look, that's a weird.
That is kind of
totally
weird,
like max headroom, huh?
There we go.
While you're doing that,
while
you're doing that, I'll go into the Linda Joyce Miner's question, and she says, "What home studio problems come up the most?" Well, you're hearing them all tonight,
you are hearing them all.
The ones you're hearing are a lot of the common ones, like noise. What is this noise? How do I get rid of this noise? Why is this noise happening? Those are a lot of them. It's really noise related. Why do I sound like I'm in a box? Why do I sound like I'm in a tube? Why do I sound like I'm really far away from the microphone? Let's see. Yeah. How do you record voiceover? How do you edit it? These are a lot of the common questions.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, why does it sound,
I mean, how many times have we done this?
Yeah, why does it sound like
It sound like I'm so far away?
Because it's a side address mic, and it works on one side.
Exactly. You might be talking in the back of the microphone. That's a very common mistake, because these large diaphragm condenser mics are a little less obvious which is the right side to talk into. Most of them have a clear logo badge or something, whereas a mic like this is pretty painfully obvious where to talk into it, because it plugs in here and it points this way.
Right.
But anyway, yeah, those are some of the most common questions for sure, is really about sound in the room, what the mic is hearing, the acoustics issues that are causing a weird sound. And I really like to relate sound with light or photography, right? Because people think visually more, right? I mean, it's easier to explain what it looks like to be out of focus. You know, we all know what out of focus.
It sort of looks like that.
So what Dan's doing is adjusting the focus ring on his camera. He and I both have webcams that allow you to manually focus, right? Unfortunately, microphones don't have a focus ring, right? They don't have a knob that lets you fine tune the focus. The only way to adjust it is by properly placing it, moving it further and closer, tilting it higher and lower, you know, moving it around your face. You know, that's how we focus the microphone, right? So I like relating sound with photography or video, because that fits. And then like light, the light you see that lights my hand up, that is the acoustics for sound, right? So the light for a photo is the acoustics for the recording. So better acoustics, better recording, better lighting, better video.
Makes total sense to me. All right. What else we got here? Terry Briscoe.
Terry.
Any advice on how I can improve me ear? I think he's my
improve
ear.
Me ear.
Unless you're just talking like a pirate. Hey, can you improve me ear? How do you improve your ear?
Ear training. Yeah.
Practice. Practice, practice, practice. It's you have to understand, George and I have been doing this for so long that we know what it's supposed to sound like. Whistle. There are things that go wrong. We know when things are right because we don't hear anything else. You know how I always talk about signal-to-noise ratio and stuff like that? You know,
right.
Signal being your voice, noise being anything that's not your
everything
voice.
Everything else.
So, just try and find where that works best for you and listen. It's like, all right, that's not my voice. And you have to listen to your recorded files and you'll figure it out.
And listen to... listen to commercials.
Right.
Listen to well-produced, well-recorded audio.
Right.
Now, don't expect your dry audio to sound exactly like those, because they obviously have some processing. But generally, commercial voiceover audio is not super-duper processed.
Right.
Promos, trailers, radio production, that stuff is highly, highly processed. So it's not a really good one to compare against, but listening to good, well-produced, high-budget television commercials, the voiceovers are very, very well recorded, and you'll start noticing something common between them about how they sound and why they sound that way. So
exactly.
That's probably part of that part of that ear training.
Yeah.
And it's just it's repetition and it's time. It takes years before you just naturally understand what good sound audio sounds like.
All right. Well, speaking of time, we're out of it for this hour anyway. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to re-rack it to talk with Mark Cashman. So don't go anywhere. We got lots of great stuff to talk about here on Voice Over Body Shop. And if you got a question for Mark, you can throw it in there now. That'll help too. Anyway, we're going to take a break. I'm going to figure out what's going on with my camera, and we'll be right back here on Voice Over Body Shop. So don't go away.
You're still watching VOBS?
Hello, VOBS viewer, listener, aficionado, fanatic. I'm David H. Lawrence, the 17th. I'm the same as you. I love this show, and I'm glad you're watching. Last week, We opened and closed registration with 1 week. That's the only week it's open for the VO Heroes Pro training curriculum. If you want to build a spectacular, successful, and practical, and satisfying voiceover career, I'm here to help you with that. And one of the big questions we got was, that's a pretty hefty price tag. Do you have a payment plan? And I'm happy to tell you that I created one. For those of you who looked at the price of the incredible value that you were getting, but the price was a little outside your budget, how do we do this? So we have an option of a 3 or a 4 month plan. All you have to do is go to voheroes.com/go. That's voheroes.com/go. And you'll get all the details. If you want to jump in, but you didn't have all the money all at once, we can give you a payment plan. Check it out at voheroes.com/go. And I'll see you inside the program.
In these modern times, every business needs a website. When you need a website for your voice acting business, there's only one place to go. Like the name says, voiceactorwebsites.com. Their experience in this niche webmaster market gives them the ability to quickly and easily get you from concept to live online in a much shorter time. When you contact voiceactorwebsites.com, their team of experts and designers really get to know you and what your needs are. They work with you to highlight what you do. Then they create an easily navigable website for your potential clients to get the big picture of who you are and how your voice is the one for them. Plus, voiceactorwebsites.com has other great resources like their practice script library and other resources to help your voiceover career flourish. Don't try it yourself. Go with the pros. VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your VO website shouldn't be a pain in the you-know-what.
Yeah, hi, this is Carlos Alas Rocky, the voice of Rocco, and you're watching VoiceOver Body Shop.
You are. And guess what? We're going to start warming up for Mark Cashman here in just a minute. Let me just adjust my focus just a little bit here.
Speaking of focus rings, you can adjust the focus on that. These cameras we've got, we've been trying a lot of different cameras over the years, but I like these ones that you can manually, once you get it focused right, it stays there and you don't have to mess with it. And
all righty. Where were we? Okay, that's right. Well, we have to talk about people who donate to the show, which we really appreciate, by the way. Our donors of the week are Robert Leadham.
Oh, I'm looking at the wrong donors. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Moving down to Stephen Chandler.
Casey Clack.
Jonathan Grant.
Tom Pinto.
Shelley Avellino.
Greg Thomas.
A Doctor Voice.
Antland Productions.
Martha Kahn.
949 Designs. Hey Lee Penny.
And Jonathan Grant.
Christopher Epperson.
Sarah Borges.
Philip Sapir.
Brian Page.
Patty Gibbons.
Rob Ryder.
Shayna Pennington Baird.
Don Griffith.
Trey Mosley. Trey's been with us for years.
Hey, Trey. Diana Birdsall.
And also Sandra Manwiller. Alrighty. Yeah. Hey, remember, homevoiceoverstudio.com. If you want to work with me, it's easy enough. Just go over there and you'll see all the things we do. Or if you want to work with George, go over to...
Just head over to georgethe.tech.
All right. Let's see. We need to thank our amazing sponsors, with whom this show would not actually happen. Harlan Hogan's VoiceOver Essentials.
VoiceOver Extra.
Source Elements.
VOHeroes.com.
VoiceActorWebsites.com.
JMC Demos.
And WorldVoices.org, the industry association of freelance voice talent. All right. Thanks to Jeff Holman for great job in the chat room, because questions make this whole thing work really well. Right. Sue Merlino sweating her tuchus off because her air conditioning isn't working.
No.
Director. And Lee Penny for just being Lee Penny. All right. We're going to re-rack it, and we're going to talk with Mark Cashman. So don't go away. We'll be right back. But anyway, have a great week. We'll see you next time on VoiceOver Body Shop. I'm Dan Leonard.
I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop.
Or VO.
BS.